I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
On Pilot TV this week, we're on the trail of some armed robbers in Task on Sky, returning to the Upper East Side to investigate yet another killing in the 5th season of Only Murders in the Building on Disney Plus, and getting testy over significant others in The Girlfriend on Prime, for which both Robin Wright and Olivia Cook join us on the podcast. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to Pilot TV, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that is back to business as usual, in that we are all in the studio, the cameras are on, people can see us, we're back up on the YouTube, you know, and you can tell that because you can see both Kay Ribeiro, who is sitting there, hello Kay.
Hello.
And Boyd Hilton, who is sitting there, hello Boyd.
Hey.
Hi. Hi. Hey, isn't guys. This exciting?
We're all hopped up because we've had a photo shoot.
I was going to say, you both look particularly dashing today. Mm. Is that because, I don't know, you've just come from a photo shoot?
I have got considerable amount of makeup on because, yes, I was forced in front of the camera by James. He felt it was time we had a family photo.
Look, revenue is down. The pilot OnlyFans is a thing. It has to be done.
Literally, no one wants that. So we've just had a photo shoot. It was enjoyable. Can I just give you some feedback?
Oh,
I would say, James, as always, loves the camera.
Yeah, a lot of bounce on the head.
Yeah.
A little light bounce.
He does all these micro movements. Oh, and
sorry,
Boyd's,
the mic.
Boyd's just whacking the microphone.
And Boyd, even though he's got no understanding of the microphone, he is absolutely comfortable in front of the
microphone's right in my face, basically. No?
You're hiding behind it.
Yeah. So Boyd was like David Gandy and just didn't need any direction and was just like, you know, the camera loved him.
Boyd was like, working for the camera, Boyd. Work it.
I'm often compared to David Gandy,
yeah,
yes,
exactly.
All the time. Yeah.
Anyway, so good job, boys.
So this was fun, yes. What is this photo shoot for, people might ask? Nothing overly exciting. We're going to have an advert that we're going to put together, aren't we, for the magazine? Mm, and yeah. it's gonna just be Kay. Just Kay's
face. It sounded like you meant we were doing a TV advert or something.
We might do.
I'm glad if Bauer raised their budget for the for our
would
marketing.
We put it on Sky Max or Sky Comedy?
Oh, that's
that
the question.
Is the question.
You love that, didn't you?
Yeah.
I got that wrong. Yeah.
One for the plus.
You know that happens exactly.
Yeah.
People won't know what you're talking about, Kay.
It's just another reason to subscribe.
Just to subscribe.
But you'll notice in the intro here when I was talking about Task, I just said on Sky because frankly, I couldn't even face the gall bit of trying to work out which particular stream of Sky it's on.
Funnily enough, I think actually Sky started doing that as well.
Really? It's just on Sky. Find it. Just look for it.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
No, listeners, on the Pilot Plus, if you're not subscribing, then what the?
Get on it, because you'll get this gold.
For $3.49 a month, what do you get? Boy, do you get an extra show every single week. You get spoiler specials.
Yeah.
You get, you know, stuff. This podcast early without ads.
You get the post bag.
You get to a lengthy description by me, a lengthy analysis of, unless you cut it out, by the way.
No.
Of course you wouldn't, because it's me being wrong. Yeah. In fact, it's like a showcase. Yeah.
I put it up top. I didn't even increase the volume for that bit.
It's an explanation of, as far as I could gather, why Sky put certain shows on its various
specifically
channels.
The paper, why it was on Sky Comedy.
The paper, which was on Sky Comedy.
In its defense, it made a lot of sense what he was saying.
Yeah, I did like a 10, 15 minute monologue, and it turned out that the paper was Sky Max and not Sky Comedy, which completely threw me, and now I just don't know what the fuck.
So for all those kind of like lols and TV gold, head to Pilot Plus.
For all the people that now, I'm just going to say, do you know what streaming on now? It's just on now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just keep it simple. Yeah. Well, we've been watching this week. I'm going to start with Boyd.
Hello. Mine's a slight special of shows that are coming up.
Oh, God.
Because I've had a lot to watch.
You get very cross when I do this.
No, I don't. No. Why? Let's be clear.
You get a little bit snippy.
Yeah, you can talk. We can all talk about whatever shows we want. I mean, we have to obviously take into account how annoying it is for the listener to be us to have us, me mainly, witching on about shows that aren't out yet, that we're not reviewing yet. I just ask that we don't review them while we're talking about them in this early stage. That's all. That's my only point that I ever tried to
make. So really, then it just becomes the smug segment. We go,
yeah,
I have seen
it's
X,
the smug segment,
and you have not.
Exactly.
And then we move on.
But right. To be honest, I've had to watch so much this week because hosting various things, preparing for interviews that I've done. I don't know what James is doing. Like, I don't know what that was.
I was miming a violin.
Oh, you didn't really do the violin bit, though.
I can't play the violin, so I was guessing how it worked. I can't play the guitar either.
Your boat,
so.
Yeah, that was the strings. There.
No, that was the worst.
No,
interesting
violin
art
mime,
action,
which
yeah.
is like that.
Do a little tiny one like that.
Really?
Yeah, okay. world's smallest violin. That's the thing that people say, isn't it? People. Anyway, I have been watching a lot of stuff that isn't out yet, but I'm just going to have to mention it now. So there is Black Rabbit, which is the new Netflix show with Jude Law and Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. And all I'm going to say about this is, without any judgment whatsoever at all, is that it's about a strange brother, one of whom runs a high-end restaurant bar in the city, albeit New York City this time, and his estranged brother comes to see him and comes back for years after not seeing him to see the setup of this haute cuisine restaurant. It's not The Bear.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
It is extraordinary how if you put it, you know, if you describe it in that way, the bald description, so to speak, it sounds like The Bear, but it's nothing like The Bear. But I'm not judging.
I remember this from Netflix's presentation.
Yeah. Did you remember thinking, oh, that sounds like The Bear?
That sounds a lot like The Bear, yes.
Well, We'll discuss it in full when we get to review it, hopefully next week, pending
embargoes.
Then last night, that's not a phrase, last night I hosted a Q&A for Coldwater.
How did it go, Boyd?
Well, it went very well in the sense that everyone turned up. There was a full audience. It was at the Picture House Central. And by the way, hello to the barman at the members bar of the Picture House Central, who's a fan of the podcast.
Oh my, what's his name?
I can't remember his name.
Oh,
unbelievable.
Boy.
Unbelievable.
Write it down, please.
Now, we should say that the way you said it, what you did a Q&A for was Coldwater, not Coldwater. And I think there's a clear distinction there, because one of them just sounds like a bath technique and the other one is, you know, the name of something.
Yeah, it is one word. Coldwater.
Yeah, Coldwater.
Coldwater. It's a place, a fictional place.
It's set in Guildford.
It's not set in Guildford. Though Guildford came up, someone mentioned Guildford to me and I can't remember why, but it did come up. I think they were going to see a screening or something in Guildford or a live show in Guildford.
Mate,
in fact, you know what? I'm just wondering what it is. Inside Number 9, you know, it's on tour. They're the live show.
Outside,
which they did in the West End. They're doing a show in Guildford. And I remember someone suggested, oh, we could go and see Guildford. So we could go to Guildford.
Yeah. Where would they end up? That's the question.
Well, exactly. And fully enjoy Inside Number 9, which is obviously a genius thing, and live our Guildford
dreams.
Listen,
all roads and tracks lead back to Guildford.
Anyway, Coldwater, however you want to pronounce it, was screened last night. And it was all going very well. Everyone was there. Everyone from the press, everyone. Some
which
people
does.
Were there. Andrew Lincoln, Indira Varma, Ewan Bremner, Eve Miles, your favourite. Eve Miles is in it. E-Bud, very busy time. Yeah, yeah. She's got a great role
lovely.
In it. She's absolutely lovely. Yeah, she's really fun. Everyone was fun. I sat next to Indira Varma, who is brilliant fun. She's
and you got everyone names right.
I think I got all their names
okay.
right. No one complained.
No one slept.
But what happened was, about 20, 25 minutes into screening the episode, the fire alarm went off.
Did you pull it?
So you were in hot water.
Very good. Hey, very good. Now, Andrew Lincoln didn't sit in the screening because he cannot stand watching himself. In fact, you'll hear that I interviewed him for the podcast. You'll hear that, which I think we're running next week. And he talks about how he cannot watch himself at all, ever, on anything. So he had his own little area where he was just like doing his stuff. And rumour went around that he'd set himself the fire alarm so people didn't have to look at him.
I would love it
him.
If it was Lincoln.
But it was really weird. And the Picture House Central, I have to say, has one of the weirdest fire alarms I've ever heard. It's a fire alarm so bizarre.
Can you recreate it now, please?
It kind of went, like a weird electronic sound that you weren't quite sure was a fire alarm. You know, people were like looking.
What, you thought it was a rave.
It was like we thought it was maybe part of the soundtrack that we didn't know about, or, you know, the show or something. And then this weird voice comes on, going, "You have to leave the cinema." Literally, like a really weird, like a kind of like a nerd's
partridge-esque. Yeah.
And then there was a lot of debate among the organisers of the screening as to whether we really did have to leave the cinema or not, or whether, you know, it was just a test.
That's so annoying.
And so there was this kind of ambiguous, like, I would say, 5 minutes where we're all sitting there going, do we really have to leave, you know?
Shall we burn?
And then finally someone took it upon themselves to go, yes, we stood on stage going, yes, you really do have to leave. We have to vacate the whole building. And sure enough, the staff and...
Did you even get out of the building before it stopped or...?
Yeah, we got out of the building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, eventually. And people who had paid good money to see other films, you know, they had to leave the fucking cinema. There's like 8 screens or however many of the Picture House Central. So it was.
You've got to take fire seriously as smoke shows.
100%. I remember when you were smoke shows.
Did you stop to take out a scrunchie at any point?
I did not.
I'd be furious.
No, there may have been various scrunchie takers out as here and there. So, yeah, it was a scene. It was quite a scene. And it delayed. There was a delay anyway in the beginning for other reasons. Mm. Basically, the whole thing ended up being an hour late.
I'd be furious.
Yeah. But credit to everyone. The whole cast was very funny about it. And everyone in the audience, all the journalists. There were a lot of journalists there because it was a...
Did you get snacks as you waited?
They get. Do you know what? They did give us those... Is it Tony's, those chocolate bars?
Yeah. Delicious.
Tony's Chocolonelies.
They give us loads of those chocolate puffs. Yes, they tried to look after
it. It was lip smackingly good.
It was lip smackingly good, exactly. So that is my cold water screening story, and I watched, and we will be reviewing that definitely next week. That is actually would be in the also on section because it starts on Sunday of the week we're doing now, but it's embargoed.
Are we not doing Cold Water on Pilot Plus?
Oh, maybe we're doing it on Pilot Plus.
I think we're doing it this week on Pilot Plus.
Sometimes I lose track of the plans you hatch.
Someone has to be looking at the calendar.
No, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, I am that person.
Yes, you are. Yeah, same. Then the other screening I went to, I didn't host, but I attended in full and was, for me, one of the most exciting screenings of the year is, of course, How Are You? It's Alan, brackets Partridge, which is the new Alan Partridge vehicle coming up soon on BBC One. It's a six-part investigation by Alan. Kay's laughing now. It's a six-part, this is serious stuff, Kay.
Okay.
It's a six-part investigation by Alan into the very, you know, kind of massively interesting topic of mental health.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I feel bad.
No, don't feel bad because I'll make sure we review. James probably wouldn't let us just review because it's a half-hour comedy and not a hour-long sci-fi thing set millennia in the future.
I say let's act.
Yeah. But it's kind of like a spoof of when, you know, a celebrity does one of these, you know,
for BBC Three.
Partly BBC Three, but certainly takes hold of an issue and investigates it.
So he's going broad then, just mental health rather than any specific.
Yeah, lots all element. Different aspects of mental health.
Okay.
Yeah, shall we say? Yeah, probably with a focus, as you might expect, from a middle-aged white guy from the North Norfolk area, but you know, probably of more, you know. It probably more extra interest to middle-aged white guys everywhere, James. So I conclude myself in that, obviously. But then there was a Q&A. So they showed two episodes. Steve Coogan did the Q&A. Kirsty Young hosted it.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously, as soon as I get invited to Q&A, with Alan Partridge, I'm not hosting. My hackles are raised. Because I have hosted many Alan Partridge / Steve Coogan Q&A before. You know, in years gone by. In fact, it's probably one of the most consistent ones I've hosted. Like, I've done quite a few, but clearly I wasn't hosting this one. But of course, Kirsty Young is brilliant.
Now, quick question. Did you give Kirsty Young as a harder time as you've given me in the past?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I stormed up to her and said, "You're stealing all my work, Kirsty. Yeah. How dare you? Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, how very dare you?
All females beginning with a K.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. But she hosted it. And the Gibbons brothers, who write and direct all the Alan Partridge stuff now and have been doing so for the last 15 years or so, they were there on the panel and they were really funny about working with Steve. They were kind of taking the piss out of Steve quite a lot, talking about his massive house that he lives in Brighton, etc. And I must tell you that friend of the pod, Rufus Jones, was there.
He's
currently filming Rivals, your favourite, and he was like, "You should come on set." And I was like, "Yes, I should come on set." Okay,
Rufus, me?
I've been invited.
If you are on set, would you have to be fully nude?
No.
Plain terms.
James, don't, let's not.
No, because I only asked because Paul Verhoeven, very famously, when he shot the shower scene in Starship Troopers, insisted that the entire crew be butt naked because all of the cast were. And given that everyone is naked in Rutshire, I just wondered whether visiting press had to.
You've got a rival now. Rutshire.
Yeah.
Do visiting press have to, you know, whip their kit off?
You sure that's true, that story, by the way? Yeah. I've heard that story. Is it apocryphal?
I don't think it's apocryphal. As I recall, and it's entirely possible making this up, but I don't think I am. It was on the DVD commentary of Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Back in the day, you used to listen to DVD commentaries.
Yes,
not so much anymore because they don't exist. But
So Rufus lives a few doors away from Joe Barton.
Oh, nice!
And he said it's like pod listeners together. Like they still both listen.
Do they have listening parties together?
Well, he said they talk.
Does Rufus still listen?
Yeah, Rufus still listens.
Really?
That's what he said. Absolutely, that's what he says. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Rufus. So that was a lovely experience. And obviously, I'm not reviewing the show, but we will be.
But he has got a smile on his face.
well, smart cook mean anything. It's mainly a reflection. I wanted to, yeah, the main reflection of the Q&A, which was very funny and entertaining and interesting.
That you hosted?
That I did not host.
Oh, I was going to say.
As Kirsty Young hosted.
Because that would be a weird way to describe your own Q&A. It's funny and entertaining and it was great.
As always, we can tell that James has 100% been listening.
Yeah, steady. Mm. And finally, the final show that I've been, well, that I've watched, which I haven't, which we will review maybe or maybe not, depending on what other else is on next week, is the new series of Juice.
I'm excited for this.
Yes, Moan Rizwan, who friend of the pod as well,
Russell
who came
Tovey.
On our Russell Tovey, exactly. Who, and remember when the Rizwan brothers came on our live, which was it 250th pod or something?
It's 300? Very hard to say. Hey, I think 90th. It was 250th. Yeah,
yeah,
100 podcasts
it was
ago.
It was a Bake Off.
It was live because show. Also, and that's relevant right. because the whole show had a kind of is it cake theme to it. So.
Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, I watched quite a lot of the new series of that, and again, I'm not reviewing it. I'm just saying it's coming up soon.
Is it good? Just look. Just give me a look with your eyes.
No. But we'll
it's
see.
Be good. The first series was.
We will see, but obviously, I'm also in the pocket of big
Juice.
Tovey. Yes, and Tovey, etc. Yeah. But yeah, so that is the cornucopia of stuff that I've been watching that isn't out yet.
Unfortunately, we don't have time for anything else. So that was Pirate TV this week. Not next week's show.
Well, I'll keep it snappy because I've only watched one thing and I absolutely adore it, Newsreader. So that is the Anna Torv, Sam Reed, Australian news drama. It's back for a third and final series. So absolutely savour each episode. And yeah, I've seen 1.5 episodes and it's really, really good. So this time round, Helen is back. She was in Washington. She's back in Australia and she's got a rival news show to Dale. So it's like, will the friendship / relationship be able to withstand that competition? We shall see. But they're all on great form, particularly the guy who plays Lindsay, who is a hideous, the TV boss. I don't know if you remember him. He's such a bigot and he is like, yeah. He's on full-on twat mode.
Love Sam Reed, though he will always be my Lestat.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
The next season of that, it's looking very exciting.
Mm. Okay, well, this is...
Anna Torv from The Brilliant Mindhunter as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Fantastic.
And Fringe.
Yeah.
So the Newsreader BBC iPlayer for Series 1 and 2, but Series 3 currently on.
On Australia.
Has it started yet? Do you know that for a fact? Do you want me to
By the time this comes out, it should be. Go on, Boyd. It's a boogle.
I'll tell you when it's on. It's on Thursday. Next Thursday. This Thursday, actually, if this comes out on Monday, the 11th of September 2025 at 9 o'clock.
Put it on your calendars and count down the 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay, I have loads of things, so I might skip some of these bits or rattle through them, one or the other.
Rattle.
So, Alien Earth Episode 5 aired the week that we're recording this podcast, and it's... an extraordinary episode. It's my favourite episode of the season. It is, as many people have said, in fact, as I said in my review, it is comfortably the best Alien movie since 1986. Really, really liked it.
I love it when he quotes himself.
I'm quoting myself. It's a great review point. It's really entertaining. Mm. It's good. You should read it. We are going to be recording an Alien Earth spoiler special this afternoon for the other podcast. Oh. Yes, it's going to be the Empire spoiler special thing. I know that is a bone of contention.
Please don't email the inbox. We've had a lot of emails about this.
I know.
I've told you.
I know.
And he just sort of says, it's not my fault.
I know. It's not my fault.
I know.
Yeah.
So just direct message.
It's outside my jurisdiction. Please refer all your complaints to Chris Hewitt. What else do I see? Oh, Apple finally gave me the finale to this season of Foundation. Oh. I now know why they've been holding it back because a lot happens, but let's not get into that at this stage because no one has seen it. I don't want to be a twat about it, but anyway.
I mean, Kay in particular.
I mean, he's fighting hard.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
He's going to find some time over the weekend to get the...
to give a shit.
Now, you'll recall last week when I was broadcasting from Florida that I was ragging on Star Trek Strange New Worlds for their documentary episode. They followed it up with another one of their very kind of wacky kind of comedic ones where let's just say Vulcans were involved.
Wait. If it was comedic, did you like it?
Do you know what? It's funny. Strange New Worlds.
Funny. I'm an absolute hypocrite in this regard.
Yeah. Strange New Worlds, for reasons I can't quite pin down, just gets a free pass on every level for me. I don't really know, but it's not because it's Star Trek.
Consistency has never been your strong point.
Fair. But like a Star Trek Discovery, I'm happy to sort of throw under the bus. But certainly the latter seasons. But yeah, Strange New Worlds, it was fine. I don't think this was the strongest episode. It was deeply, deeply silly. There was some extraordinary hair choices made in that particular episode. But that was the thing that happened.
Did you know that Strange New Worlds, that ITVX has acquired it, and they're gonna run it, from the beginning on that streaming. So it's free. You can watch it for free.
So you don't need to have Paramount.
You don't need to have Paramount Plus. Yeah. I was gonna mention.
See, that is genuinely interesting.
Yeah, thank you,
Kai.
I learned to be helpful.
Yeah.
It's a boogle.
Good. Right, what else did I watch? Dexter Resurrection, I've been pressing on with. I haven't finished it yet, but I've been pressing with Dexter Resurrection, and I'm enjoying it a lot. So that's
trying to think what we felt.
No, it was good. I liked it. Yeah. I didn't carry on watching it though. That's good. Yeah. Although, no, of course, did we cover in news the fact that the prequel was
Dexter? Is it First renewed, Blood, New Blood, whatever it's called?
Renewed then cancelled. That is horrendous. Yeah. Imagine being like the agent who has to tell your star, Paddy Gibson, main star, legend from the OA. Being told by the way, you've been recommissioned. Brilliant, excellent. No, they've changed their mind. Yeah.
We've unrenewed you.
Unbelievable.
Poor guy might put it on socials, LinkedIn.
Yeah.
He's got that harassment now, taking that
they
down.
They did, yeah.
Put it on his Instas.
Yeah.
We didn't really like the show.
No.
It was disappointing.
Some people did. We were not among them.
No. But that was outrageous.
Are we to blame?
Yeah.
Renew, then change your mind. That's the worst.
I think, do you think they listened to our review after they'd renewed it? I think Boydie's got a point.
No.
So really, it was down to you.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well done, Boyd.
That was it. What else did I watch? I finally finished, because I've been watching it in installments. Bear in mind, they are feature length, but I finished the final episode of Karen Perry, which was great. I will say, it goes to, first of all, they get to go on a field trip, which is genuinely brilliant. And
also,
she still
has a bum bag on.
Yeah, she still has the bum bag.
Well, she's bum bag even more if you're in Greece.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Or spoiler, it's in Greece. And other places, in fact. But I didn't see where that was going, actually. That unraveled in a way that I had not predicted.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good ending. I enjoyed that. And I also rewatched the Friends finale for reasons.
Okay.
We don't
have time for this.
Greatest sitcom ever. Anyway, right, that is it for what we've been watching. Let's move on to the listener question. And we've definitely got one. And the reason I know this is because when we started recording, Kay was frantically trying to find one, having not done any preparation.
Yes. I've had a very trying morning, which they know about. Okay, this comes from Ben. He says, it's actually addressed to Kay and Boyd.
Oh, right. Can I leave?
Well, because he says, hope you're enjoying the peace and quiet whilst James is gallivanting. My question for the pod is, do you think there'll come a point when there's simply too much TV and the industry is forced to shut down for a while as it simply can't make enough money to sustain the budgets required to make new content? As streaming takes over as the most common source of viewing, with even terrestrial free-to-air channels going streamed and everyone having access to box sets of thousands of old shows, are there now too few viewers watching new shows? Could the TV industry decide to just not make anything new for a bit until there's more of a hunger and appetite for new shows? We would all be forced to have another Friends rewatch. Oh, James.
Yes.
Or binge Doctor Who. Doctor Hugh from 1963 to the present.
I believe it's called House.
Which does have its appeal, I have to say. Not good for those working in the industry, of course, but food for thought. Love the pod. Highlight of my week. The three of you are the best talking trio in Podland. And he's definitely listening to this podcast, so that's a... surprising.
Well, you accidentally meant to send it to This Is Entertainment or the rest of Entertainment even.
Yeah. This Is Entertainment. I just put Boydie a long-term fan of that
FYI, podcast. This is definitely not Entertainment.
No.
Right. Yeah, so what do you think?
Oh, I mean, no. Is this the equivalent of having, do you remember when the writer's strike was on and loads of shit films and TV shows were delayed and everyone was furious? Like, voluntarily having your own strike is not the way forward.
But we've kind of been through this period, haven't we? Because there was a point where peak TV did peak. And then there
was... numbers of shows.
And then there was a kind of a pulling back off the accelerator a little bit.
Because
they'd oversaturated.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I think we have been through that. And now...
I mean, it's mainly, to be honest, mainly Netflix that went for, commissioning hundreds of episodes.
And they have pulled back slightly because it was becoming unsustainable. But so I think, have we found the equilibrium now? I'm not sure. Maybe this is the baseline.
I mean,
I'm saying is if we have to then increase our number of shows we're watching a week, I think my eyeballs will just fall out.
No, I don't think. I think it's leveled out. I mean, in some areas, like factual areas of TV, there's a bit of a crisis going on in terms of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about the Edinburgh TV Festival, and there's a lot of. It's really hard if you're a freelance, you know, crew.
Well, like documentary makers.
Documentary makers, factual entertainment, specialist factual, just a lot. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a, for some reason, that area has been affected more by commissioners not commissioning new stuff than the scripted area, where there seem to be more scripted comedies and dramas, or at least as many scripted comedies and dramas as ever. So, yeah, so there seems to be a slight levelling out of scripted shows, but fewer, for some reason or other, factual shows. It's just, yeah, that's just the way it's happened.
Because bear in mind what they're asking for here is, can we have a period of time where we just don't make anything new so we can catch up? That was basically the pandemic, wasn't it?
And then we
had the strikes. Yeah. We have had a couple of, like, basically flat lines in new product, which have slowed things down.
I do get that sentiment, though, because sometimes it is so hard to keep up.
It can be a bit relaxed.
Like, can I just hit pause on the world and just have a sabbatical?
Yeah, it is true, but I don't think, certainly when I was younger and stuff, I don't think it's ever been a time where I have felt that the entertainment was such an insurmountable obstacle. Like, there's so much to stay on top of.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, keep on watching Friends right?
And to keep on watching Friends as well. Absolutely. Hey, I'm not rewatching The West Wing at the moment, and that is very rare. So thank you. Because it does feel like you're constantly playing whack-a-mole with episodes of things. And sometimes it's a joy, but sometimes The Walking Dead, Dead City, you're just watching stuff because you feel you have to, and actually you should really just stop.
Yeah. No, I get the sense of completion you want.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's answered the question, Ben. Any follow-ups, do get in touch. Now, can we remind everyone, please, of the email address?
Feel free.
It is pilottv@empiremagazine.com.
Yes.
Please get in touch, especially if you're a new emailer, but everyone welcome. We want to hear your thoughts, feelings, questions. I was going to say feedback. I don't want any feedback.
No feedback.
Right now. We've had, because we did a survey. I'm going to just draw the veil.
Oh, God.
We did a survey 8 months ago, which we agonized over. I submitted loads of questions to James, which he sort of ignored.
And then, I did not ignore
and then,
them.
No, and then no, but then he used the questions and put them out there finally. And we did it about 8 months ago, I'd say, James, or nine.
Even. Roughly eight.
Yes. And he said he was going to collate the information to feedback to us. And do we know what was said?
I've been very busy in Thailand and Florida.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's been a challenge.
Why don't you reveal the results of the survey in song? Like, you know, as if you're doing
karaoke.
Yeah, do it to one of your favorite.
Do you think I should do that?
Yeah.
I did volunteer to reveal it live on the podcast.
No.
You both refused to allow me to do it.
Now that you're an influencer, though, you could...
I think he should just sing Tina Turner, Simply the Best.
Yep.
Yeah, right, that'll be a summary of everything.
That'll work, yeah.
Did you go and peruse the said video on my Instagram?
Oh, not yet. I will do it then. I forgot. Yeah.
It's the talk of the building, to be honest.
Everyone, please go to James's Instagram.
I've even put some videos up on TikTok.
I'm on the top. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's happened. It's absolutely happened.
Wow.
I've got like 80 followers. So if everyone listening to this would like to follow me,
this is
James C. Dyer on TikTok, that'd be great, because I have literally like 70 followers and I want loads more.
No.
I'm going to put up clips on this podcast of UK primarily.
Absolutely.
Just to torment you. So if you want to see Candid K Studio,
oh my God, no one needs that. Expect a letter from a cease and desist letter from my lawyer.
Perfectly reasonable. Anyway, should we move on to this week's guests?
Yes.
Time for Robin Wright and Olivia Cooke, neither of whom I would say need any introduction, but both of whom appear in this week's The Girlfriend, in which Robin Wright's Laura is forced to welcome Olivia Cooke's excellently named Cherry Lane into the family as her son's new girlfriend. They sat down with Kay, which must have been quite a contortion given that she is also in their pocket, because she did a big Q&A for this. But anyway, this is what happened.
Robin and Olivia, welcome to Pilot TV. I've got to tell you, first of all, ladies, that the reason why I am looking incredibly tired is because I didn't want to go to bed last night until I saw how this ended. So I've binged, all six episodes. Whoop. And I wanted to congratulate you both because The Girlfriend is tense and wild and hugely addictive. So congratulations.
Oh my God, thank you. Yay. Well done.
We like that word. That's perfect.
Yeah. Or you can use a strap line. We'll give you eye bags. So I wanted to find out, when you guys read the script, when your agents handed it over, you know, was it just a no-brainer for you?
I got a call from Imaginarium Productions, who produced it. They bought the rights to the book, I believe. And the pilot had been written. And I'd read the book and I could just see the show. I was like, oh, let's adapt Michelle Francis's words, that, you know, it's a completely different animal when you're reading a book, because you're getting all the minutia of the ins and outs of the character, what they feel, what they want to say, but they can't say. You get all of that description, and then you have to put it into scenes where you're dropping crumbs for this platform of dual perspectives without giving the full plot away, or without hand-holding the audience saying, yes, you're right, she's bad, she's good. You're going to waffle through the six episodes of going, oh, I don't know whose team to be on.
Mm. Do you know what? That's one of the great things I love about this is the dual perspective, because you're right. As a viewer, I'm just like, I was flip-flopping. I was like, one hand, I was like team, you know, team Laura. The other hand, I was team Cherry. You just don't know what to think. Olivia, was that an appeal to you as well?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's, you know, I think it's very innate within women to sort of go into a room and like be very hypervigilant and assess the situation before, you know, we've even been in the room for 10 seconds being like, okay, that dynamic over there, that person doesn't like that person. Okay, they're on a first date. You know, you sort of like, you do a full scan. Whereas, and that's sort of like amplified when you meet the mum of your prospective partner. And, you know, sometimes you can then go back to your partner and say, I don't know if your mum likes me because they said this way, or like they gave me a weird look. And then your partner's like, what? No, it was fine. It was fine. Because they haven't had the sort of like 360 vision that you have. And, you know, they're not as, I don't know, adrenalized and, you know, acutely aware of everything, all the dynamics that are going on. But that sort of changes when you like project your emotions and also your preconceived ideas onto someone as well. And so to play both of the perspectives, you get to really dive into the psyche of each individual character and also what they're bringing to the table as well. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Robin, let's talk about Laura, because on the one hand, she appears to be just this loving mama bear. On the other hand, this controlling, manipulative matriarch. What's your take on her, and what does she take against Cherry so much?
Well, I think you would ask any mother of a son. No girl's going to be perfect for your baby, you know? And that's sort of the foundation of this, of not wanting to lose him to someone like Cherry, that I think is this type of woman. Social climber, says white lies. Why? Who is she pretending to be, and who is she really?
Mm-hmm.
That suspicion just keeps getting amplified. And then the clutch of her son becomes tighter. I'm not going to lose him to this. He's blinded by what he thinks is love. And it's a natural happening, not to the degree of the girlfriend. Let's hope not, but as a show, but definitely those questions are there, or you're just like, oh, I just don't like her. I don't like the way she flips her hair, or I don't like the, you know, that's just mom being a mom.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that first episode, if you probably feel like this, you kind of touched upon it. It's quite relatable for most people because, you know, it's that nerves around meeting the parents. And, you know, although to be fair, this is just completely off the scale. You know, this would be a manual on how not to do it. What is Cherry's first impressions? I mean, she's nervous going into this family, right? Because of the social economic background as well. You know, that's what I think is really interesting in this as well.
Yeah. And I think she's, you know, she doesn't just come out of the gate lying about who she is. I think it's a factor of experience and things that have happened to her in the past that have made her want to conceal a few things about herself. So she's already coming into this meeting with a defense.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that she's meeting the mother of someone that she really, really loves, who's going to have a more intense X-ray vision of her as well. So I think, you know, every sense is heightened for Cherry going into that meeting.
Yeah. And what's her first, you know, impressions in terms of the dynamics of, I find this fascinating, the Laura-Daniel dynamics.
It's a bit strange.
It's a bit strange. It's batshit. I mean, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, I mean, they're close. Very close.
I think this raises the question of how close is too close? But also, that's the thing, and this is the, I think, the genius part of it, you know, the dual perspective thing, is that on the one hand, in particular with regards to their closeness, you can kind of see it as like, oh, it's just a really loving mom. You know, some people are not, you know, that close. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, and from Cherry's perspective, it gives you the ick because you're like, no, I think, particularly, I have to say, ladies, the episode 2, that balcony scene will stay with me for a very long time. It's toe curling, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, it is. It's also just like, well, where, as the girlfriend, it's like, where do I fit in?
Mm.
You know, how do I like begin to sort of like move within the straitjacket of this already like set cemented relationship? It's sort of like you don't want to overstep, but you also want to tell your partner in a very delicate way, like, this isn't normal.
Absolutely. I think it also is like a public service announcement that doors have locks for a reason.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask, Robin, like, how did you feel about, you know, because of the dual perspective, it gives you an opportunity to explore the darker sides of both characters. Was that quite enjoyable for you?
Oh, yeah. It was so much fun. And we kept trying to find amplified versions of those beats. Like, how far can we take it? We can take it to the balcony scene because Mom probably removes all the locks from Daniel's room so she can go in and rub his back to sleep, you know?
No. It's so true. She probably does. And reads him a story still.
Yeah, massage bedtime story. Thighs and normal stuff moms do to 29-year-olds. Anyway.
Talking about that, you know, because obviously you have these heightened scenes, as you say, like, what were your favorite scenes to film? Do any stand out? Because, for example, I was very into the wedding scene.
Mm.
For Cherry.
Mm. Well, my first day. I mean, our whole first day filming. And so you're starting with a huge set piece and moment like that, whilst, you know, having to tonally set the character up just right. And so that was a daunting task because, you know, it's so, what she's doing is so extreme, but you still want to sort of root for her at the end. Mm. And so trying to sort of find that balance where you're like, you're cringing at what she's done, but you're slightly in the back of your mind, like cheering her on and wishing that you could have done something like that.
Mm. I thought it was fantastic. I really liked that scene. And I just thought also it was beautifully shot. Robin, I know that you've been a director on this. I believe the first 3 episodes, is it?
Mm-hmm.
How did you find that, juggling those roles? Because obviously your character's a lot of very intense scenes. It's very full on. And then obviously your role as director is also full on. How was it wearing those two hats, and were there any challenges?
Oh, yeah. A lot of challenges. But I think that's on any project, that when you're doing, you know, 3 different positions. Yeah, there were a lot of challenges, but we made the best of it because the group of us, and to have freaking pros, Olivia and Lori are just, they're pros. And I couldn't have asked for a better gift because we were crunched for time a lot of days. Weren't going to make our day, had to start trimming scenes. And then was that going to lose the thread of the show, you know? And those are the battles much of the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to work with this group, this cast, we never would have achieved it if they weren't pros. And we had so much fun. You know, in between takes, we were giggling, constantly telling stories. Olivia and Laurie were like two little kids. It was so much fun. They're constantly laughing. It's just a good group. Great dynamic between all of us. It worked. And that is such a blessing because sometimes it doesn't work. Mm.
And also just like really incredible to watch Robin work. Like the first few days we were shooting really intense, emotional scenes. And Robin would have this like, you know, had to have this huge, heartbreaking breakdown and then would snap out of it and be like, okay, right. Okay. We're going to go to a wide now. Is that good for you? Yeah. Everyone good? Okay, good. And so, okay. What lenses? And you're just like,
talk about pro.
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was, yeah, it was just, we were all like whispering behind Robin's back being like, did you see that?
But you know, much of the time, because we were crunched for time,
you just had to.
Instead of wasting more time running back to Video Village to watch playback of a scene that Olivia and I did, or my coverage to see, did I nail the scene? Do I need to do another take? At a certain point, I was like, I don't have time. We're wasting time. Let's just keep. And so my DP was always in front of the video watching. And I would just scream, Matthias, good or do it again? And after a while, he was like, yeah, it's pretty bad. Do it again.
It's not good. Teamwork.
No, he was my director.
How was it filming in Spain, like nearby Marbella? It looked like it would be fun.
That was one of the most fun. We shot that at the very end of the schedule.
Yeah. Oh, really?
In September. Wow. And so the weather was great and the water was freezing.
Yeah.
Olivia had to get in there.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of physically demanding scenes in that, the Spain scenes, because you got the rock climbing. I'm not sure how much of that, Olivia, was you or was, you know, like a stunt person, but like also the tennis and the bodyboarding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. It was like stunt cherry. all of Spain. It was fun. I love doing that sort of stuff. It's like getting in the water and, because then, I mean, the acting is sort of done for you at that point. You know, being cold, like me literally trying to bodyboard on like the waviest sea with the wind whipping you and like trying to get purchase as you're...
Was the seasickness real? Was it that bumpy?
I took loads of drugs, so you know that is in my like emotional recall anyway. But it was dynamic.
Yeah,
it was dynamic.
Well, it looked a lot of fun as a viewer. You just like, obviously it was emotionally intense, but I was like, I bet these guys had a lot of fun over there.
We did.
And finally, I always like to find out, because obviously, as you know, I've binged it last night. What are you guys currently watching and can't get enough of?
It's something that I watched recently. Oh my God. It's with Jake Gyllenhaal. What's the show?
Oh, Presumed Innocent.
Yes.
That's really good. Yeah.
Loved that. But I haven't watched it. You know what I keep rewatching?
What?
Living in the UK now. The show Mum with Leslie Manville.
Oh my God. I love it. I absolutely.
I keep rewatching it.
I'm obsessed. It's so, so good. I honestly regularly rewatch that.
Yeah, great. So what are you watching, Olivia?
I'm watching too much. I just started that.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant too much TV, but
watching
no.
Too much TV. No, I'm watching the Lena Dunham show. Megan Startup and Will Sharp. God, he's so good.
Mm-hmm. Very versatile.
Incredible. And I'm really enjoying that. I mean, Lena Dunham just has... It is like just so incredible at observations and wicked one-liners. And yeah, I think that I really enjoy that. And I just finished, because I really wanted to get to Scandaval. I just went through season 1 to season 11 of Vanderpump Rules, which is
good.
This is how much like a gossip fiend I am. I heard about a scandal that happened on a reality TV show, and I was like, okay, I must go through 11 seasons.
Oh my God. That is dedication.
Vanderpump Rules. You know Lisa Vanderpump from Beverly Hills? Is it Beverly Hills Housewives?
One of them. I can't remember which one, but yeah. Oh my God, Olivia, that is dedication. It's a scandal.
It was an illness. It was like... I don't know why I did it. I just went into like hyperfocus of like, I must finish it just to get the like this sort of like delicious.
Call it the binge virus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, I tell you, the girlfriend is going to give everyone the binge virus because viewers will definitely be tuning in on the 10th September on Prime Video. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, time for this week's news. What's been happening in the world of news?
Well, I'll tell you what the big news is. This news is so hot off the press as we're recording this on Thursday, the 4th of September, that it's strictly embargoed until 4 o'clock this afternoon. But because this podcast comes out on Monday,
proper breaking news,
and we can fully, this is also breaking news that we knew about earlier, or at least I did. than you may expect, because of course it's Russell T Davies news. It's casting of his new show, Tiptoe. And this is it's already been announced that he was writing this kind of thriller, which is the first time he's really done an out-and-out thriller, which is about two warring neighbours. And they've revealed that the warring neighbours will be played by David Morrissey, the man, the legend.
He's great.
Absolute legend.
And Alan Cumming.
Also, oh, brilliant.
Yes. Who younger listeners or watcher viewers may think is just the host of The Traitors US, the American version of The Traitors, which he is, but he's also a very accomplished actor. He was in Eyes Wide Shut, the Stanley Kubrick film with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise, and he plays the hotel kind of clerk in that. I don't think he's got a character name, but he is quite an outstanding camp presence in the middle of Eyes Wide Shut, this extraordinary film. So there's also been more details. They're just about to start filming, or they've just started filming, and the description of the storyline has been fleshed out a little bit. The five-part series will follow Leo and Clive, who have lived next door to each other in Manchester for almost 15 years. But just as life should be settling down, the world around them is growing more tense, which is definitely the case.
All about the recycling bins.
Yeah. Words become weapons, opinions become radicalised, and gradually two neighbours become deadly enemies in a tense suburban thriller which challenges everything we consider to be safe. The series, populated with a cast of vibrant characters and underscored with Davis's trademark wit and deft humour, is an urgent tale that brings a spotlight to bear on the prejudices which are creeping back into our lives.
That sounds great.
Sounds good.
I mean, we are biased.
Russell. We're all in the pocket of big Russell.
Yeah. Also, I would urge him not to lose sight of Longleat, the other project he should be working on.
Yeah. Longleat's percolating back. For sure, yeah. They've also announced the sporting cast. I haven't finished on this news story yet, by the way.
No, keep going.
Because I particularly except Pookie Quesnel is in it.
Mm-hmm. She's brilliant.
Brilliant, always brilliant. Elizabeth Barrington's in it, who was in, who's been in lots of legendary shows, Lost Boys and Fairies, Last Night in Soho, and she was in It's a Sin. She was in the final episode of It's a Sin and made a big impression. But Paul Rees, who's always brilliant, I think. Charlie Condu, my friend Charlie Condu, who I walked the marathon with, famously harder than running it.
It's ridiculous.
And finally, this is brilliant, Denise Welsh. The loose woman herself, loose women. Have you heard of it, James?
It's normally on the screen when we're recording the podcast.
We've been invited, and you said you wanted to go to be in the audience, if you recall, because we have geeks, the big cheese.
Wanted would be perhaps a misrepresentation of my position, but I agreed.
So we're still waiting to do that.
Yeah, anyway. So brilliantly, Louise Walsh is in it as well. So it's got a fantastic cast, great concept, and very, very exciting. Just starting filming now.
Actually, some more casting news I've got for you, which is that Big Mood is coming back for a second series, which we already knew about. So that's the Camilla Whitehill comedy drama starring Nicola Coughlan as Maggie, who's got bipolar disorder. And it's about her, how that impacts her life and her friendship with her best mate, Eddie, played by Lydia West. Anyway, a new name added to the cast list is Sherwood star Robert Lindsay. So he'll be appearing in series 2. There's no date as yet, so we'll have to wait for that, but it was renewed earlier this year. So watch this space.
I have some casting news as well.
Go on.
Sophie Turner, Sansa Stark herself, is going to be playing Lara Croft in Prime Video's long gestating Tomb Raider series, Prime Video. That's right. It's a very different type of dadcore programming, this. This was the thing that Phoebe Waller-Bridge has been apparently working on for about the last 25 years.
Yeah, for a gazillion pounds.
It's been going on for ages that they just basically gave her a chest full of gold and said, please, you know, do this. Mm. Now, Tomb Raider has had, let's say, a checkered history on screen. The Angelina Jolie films were famously not great. The Alicia Vikander film was better? But still not great. And the only reason why anyone, I think, is really excited about this is that Phoebe Waller-Bridge is involved as kind of like the creator of this show, which makes you think it'll have some bite, it'll be really well written, it'll be interesting. Sophie Turner, I think, is excellent casting for this, though. I do think that's a good shout.
Yeah,
so I am now cautiously optimistic.
Have you got a soft spot for Sophie Turner? Your eyes sort of lit up a little bit.
Did they? Yeah. Did they light up? I think she's very good. I saw her in a film, actually, recently. I watched, have you seen Do Revenge?
No.
It's a Netflix teen comedy type thing. She has a small but very entertaining role in that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure she'll be happy to.
There you go.
Yeah.
Small but very entertaining. That's my summary of her.
She was also in, most recently, she was in Joan.
She was, yes. Yeah,
she was great. Good, which
stealing things.
Hosted the Q&A, so I hung out with her quite a lot. She was an absolute delight. So, yeah, I'm pleased with her on that.
And you got a name right and everything?
Yeah. Sophie Turner.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I got that.
Listen,
and it's Callum Turner, star Tomb Raider.
Sophie, yeah. Anyway.
Judy Reyes has officially signed up for the Scrubs revival, which is very exciting.
Is it though?
It is exciting. Carla's a great character.
Is it exciting?
Yeah.
On any level, or is it a travesty, a crime against gods and men?
What do you mean?
Because Scrubs was a genuinely great show until it became a genuinely terrible show, where the show ended and then it came for this, and I won't even use the word victory lap, it came back for another season. When everyone really should have just left it alone. I think Bill Lawrence went on record saying, look, he had mouths to feed. He had people that relied on him that he employed. So he wanted to give them more work. And they didn't. And it was a very ill-conceived final season.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help feeling that, you know, leave well enough alone. But going back to it again, that said, and just to qualify, I will say Dexter, obviously, had an ignoble end, and yet they've resurrected that quite literally with this. They've had a bunch of seasons since, and they have managed to redeem themselves. So maybe this is Scrubs' chance to redeem itself.
Listen, all I'm saying is ABC's already picked it up, so it's a moot point. It's happening.
I can't stop it. Yeah.
And if it's happening, I'm happy that Judy Reyes is.
Yes, Carla. Carla was great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Did you talking of reboots of ancient sitcoms? So this completely passed me by. This was happening. Did you know there's a Malcolm in the Middle reunion series happening?
It's going to be like, well,
yeah,
no.
I mean, it's mad. Frankie Muniz was talking about, so the news story was Frankie Muniz says the Malcolm in the Middle reboot may not be what fans are expecting. During a recent appearance on a podcast, he said longtime fans may be surprised after what they see the Wilkerson family's been up to in the last 20 years. But who knew this was actually happening? It's a mad idea, isn't it?
I didn't watch it first time around.
Oh, I watched it first. It was great. It's a great sitcom. It's a really good show.
Does it sit on your sitcom scale?
Do you know what? I think I've only seen a couple of episodes of it. I don't really know.
Oh, it's excellent. From Bryan Cranston. It was the thing that made Bryan Cranston famous.
I know that.
Breaking Bad. He's going to be in it. He's in the new. It's only four episodes, which is a minimal order. But it is happening. Yeah. How bizarre is that?
Oh, we shall see. Bookish Series 2, cast announcements. So nice. That's the Mark Gatiss,
Robert Lindsay.
hit period drama on Ewan Alibi. Joining the cast for Series 2 will be Jason Watkins as Harold Sneed. Miranda Richardson as Duchess Alberta. Already excited for that. Also, Simon Callow. He will play E, intriguingly. And Rupert Graves as Colonel Reggie Winters. Oh, and actually, Claire Skinner from Outnumbered as Mrs. Calthrop.
Good. Bookish is good. Mm. I still haven't pressed on with that. I haven't gone back to it. Again, this insurmountable mountain of shows.
The third story. Is it an episode? Yeah, it's third episode. Yeah. It's the best one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm definitely continuing it. Sorry, just for a sense of completion, I missed a name off. Also, Yusef Kerkal. Is that how you're saying? Kerkal?
Kerkal. Yeah, from Home.
Yes. Yeah, from Home, yeah.
Which I fucking love.
Yes.
Home.
Mm. It's amazing. He was amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
That show, which only had two series, was so good.
Everyone check it out. Where was it?
It was Channel 4. And I was absolutely gutted that didn't continue.
It was fantastic.
And not just because of the naked yucca dancing, although that was definitely a high point, but it was wonderful.
And not just because we're in the pocket of Big Rufus Jones.
We are, of course, in the pocket of Big Jones.
It was brilliant. And he'll play Yusuf. So, yeah, that's Bookish Series 2.
Brilliant.
Did you see that the paper that we reviewed in
last week's Pilot Plus?
Very favourably. Very favourably. Even James, hater of comedy, quite liked it.
He said his mouth arranged itself into a smile.
Yeah.
I think it was a smile. It was a weird sensation. I live in a mirror. It resembled a smile.
Yeah, it was extraordinary. Anyway, it's been recommissioned already. Just arriving on both American and British screens, but already it's been renewed because they know a good thing when they see one.
Yeah. I'm saying that's the best news of the week.
Oh.
Yeah, I really loved Paper. Mm.
Yeah, so we've got another, but they still haven't confirmed when it's going to be on NBC in America. So it's definitely like.
And is it Sky Max?
It's Sky Max. Maybe it'll be on Sky Comedy as well one day. I don't know, because it's a comedy.
Someone give us clarity.
Yes, someone tell us.
And the other, you know what, one of the most interesting bits of casting this week, particularly James, I think you'll agree, is Warwick Davis.
As Professor Flitwick.
Yes, because he is the only, as far as I can tell, cast member from the Harry Potter films who is officially being cast in the Harry Potter TV series as well, which is quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting is definitely the word.
Okay.
Chris Columbus, obviously, has been talking to people because he did Thursday Murder Club, which was out last week. And he, I believe he said something along the lines of, what is the point of this show? Which was rather broadly reported, which is like, we've already done this, why are we doing this again? So there, Chris Columbus threw it under the bus.
Yeah, he's not involved, is he?
He's not involved. It'd be a weird move if he was.
But I mean, that may be, one needs to not be aware of the fact that he's definitely
context,
not involved.
Context is everything.
Context is all, and, you know, there may be some reason.
Sour grapes.
Well, who can speculate?
Well, but he said it.
I think the point of it, by the way, is to make a huge amount of money and get millions and gazillions of people signing
because
up to
capitalism.
Prime Video, which is going to be on. No, in fact, no, it's not Prime Video, is it? It's going to be on. It's HBO Max. It's all about. It's
Warner Brothers. Can someone do a web diagram at some point? It's just like.
Yeah, I'm glad I corrected myself quickly. Then.
Yeah, you called that one.
To the Sky Comedy debacle.
Is that it for news?
I think so.
Okay, let's move on then to this week's reviews. And first up this week, we have Task on a Sky channel.
Sky Atlantic.
A Sky Atlantic. Definitely. On Sky Atlantic.
Sky Atlantic.
Yes, it does feel like Sky Atlantic. And this is a miniseries from Mayor of Easttown creator Brad Inglesby. And it stars Mark Ruffalo as a federal agent going through some trauma because, you know, naturally. And he sets up a task force to take down a gang of sanitation workers who have a nice sideline in ripping off drug dealers. Boydie is... Task masterful.
Nice. It is masterful. But I thought that's a good word for it, even though you're only using that word to have a pun on Taskmaster.
It was. Yeah.
Cunningly. Is an example of absolutely masterful. I'm going straight in there. TV, elite TV drama manufacturing. It's absolutely fantastic.
It screams elite TV.
This is peak elite HBO. Yeah. It's an HBO show.
It's not TV, television. It's HBO.
Exactly. And as you said, it's from Mayor of Easttown creator Brad Inglesby. And what's interesting, though, is, and you can definitely see the kind of connective tissue in terms of just the style of it, the mood of it. It's very much about a working class community and working class communities and people, how people survive in those worlds, particularly in, you know, 2025 America. And it's got a maverick, not maverick, actually, that's not the right word. It's got a central character, troubled sense of central character who has lots of issues of his own while he's tasked with trying to put together, he's an FBI guy and he's tasked with putting together a special unit to try and deal with local criminals. What's interesting is that Mayor of Easttown was, of course, absolute brilliant and gave Kate Winslet probably her best role ever, I would say, conjecture to say, you know, people might say Titanic, I don't know, but an absolutely brilliant role of this three-dimensional detective. You know, do you remember when we'd see her in the car stuffing Subways in her mouth? And, you know, there's a lot, by the way, of food I notice here. There's a lot of eating and munching on food going on throughout the whole series of this. But that show not only had an incredibly authentic vibe to it when it came to depicting the community and her character, etc. It was a big whodunit. It started off, in fact, started off slightly controversially for some people with a naked female body discovered, a corpse, which a lot of shows obviously have. And I remember people did criticize it for that, but I thought it's a valid thing because it's such a brilliant show. But it was definitely a whodunit. And along with everything, the mystery kept us going throughout however many episodes it was, right up until the finale, which had a big twist kind of going on everything. This is not a whodunit. We meet the criminals. We see what they've done and what they're doing all throughout the show. And in fact, it's almost like two parallel narratives in which we see
two dads.
Yeah, in which we see what these people are doing, what they get embroiled in, and the kind of the offshoot of that, the fallout from that in terms of their friends, families, local communities, etc. And at the same time, you see Mark Ruffalo's character, Mark Ruffalo's character assembling this team, this FBI team, to deal with this this kind of crisis as it reaches a crisis that these criminals are doing. And they're kind of like, they're a bit similar to that show. What was the Apple TV Plus show that you really liked? And I should have made a note of this.
Dope Thief.
Yes, thank you. Dope Thief, of criminals robbing from drug manufacturers and dealers. So there's a similar thing going on there, isn't there, in terms of like, who are these people? Well, they're kind of robbing from the really bad people, but they are bad people as well. And there's also a kind of thing
Robin
about...
Robin Hood cut.
Yeah.
Cut, well, I was going to go with OR from The Wire, but yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, more OR from The Wire, in fact, probably. But you absolutely... All of this is shown in great detail. And what's interesting is... As I watched the first episode, halfway through, I was thinking, this is really good. As you say, prestige, and Mark Ruffalo is brilliant. He's always great. Everyone in it is really authentic, and it's really well directed and written and everything. But is it really hooking me in? And then you get to by the time you finish the first episode, and all the ramifications, is all I was going to say, of what happens.
Hook, line, and sinker.
You're absolutely on board, because you're desperate to know how it's all going to play out. And I carried on watching. I think I watched four episodes.
Oh, wow.
Now, and it's fucking brilliant. It doesn't so much have twists. It has narrative developments that you don't see coming. And the way they play out, it's so clever, and the plot strands are so brilliantly knitted together that there's constant surprises and constant kind of fascinating developments. I'm trying not to spoil anything or allude to anything, which means my favourite alluding to phrase. I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely.
It does.
I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
It absolutely just radiates prestige TV, doesn't it? It's just every frame of it is beautifully shot.
Yeah.
The way it's paced, the way it's structured, all of it. Also, big shout out to one of the armed robbers, the leader, which is Tom Pelfrey, who is fantastic as Robbie. Yes. And he's from Outer Range and Banshee. He was in Banshee as well. Oh,
I really like him.
Yeah, he's great.
He's very... magnetic, you know, that he's got that charisma as well.
He has a real charisma to him, and you need it for that particular role as well.
Yeah, because when I said about them both being fathers, that's what I really enjoyed about seeing them and their interactions with their children, which we don't see, you know, like it's...
Yeah,
and we don't see that so much on screen, especially with an inverted commas baddie character.
Yeah.
It added depth to his...
And Inglesby likes those kind of like meshed up generational family units, you know, like, because he's living with his two kids and his niece, who's essentially helping him raise his two kids
for reasons in his
dead brother's house. Like, it's a whole, like, it's fascinating.
And even like, obviously, like Tom Ruffalo's character, he's gone through trauma, and we're like, oh, rolling our eyes. But actually, I don't know, I really like the fact that he was a priest for 8 years as well. So
yeah,
really intrigued you out. No, exactly. So I felt like at least that freshened up that kind of trope. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. Why has he left the priesthood? It's clear that he's lost his faith. Well, I presume he's lost his faith because he's gone through some, you know, serious stuff. His daughter lives with him, but his son is absent, which I won't spoil. And yeah, it's how he processes that. He's quite grizzled. I always think Ruffalo just gives such a soulful performance.
Yeah, he's great. He has a task force full of like Generation Z.
Yeah, there's a really funny. Yeah. The young woman who's in the task force is hilarious. Who kind of
Zoom out agent to come in. Yeah,
but you're not quite sure because they seem to be borderline incompetent, and he kind of thinks they are, but yet they might be okay.
Are they incompetent or are they just young people?
Yeah.
It's unclear.
Exactly.
But I really love Ruffalo in this. But I actually think Tom Pelfrey steals it.
I think
he's fantastic in this. So I will watch more. Yes, as Boyd says, by the end of episode one, you will be very much engrossed and desperate to see how it unfolds. But I will be watching.
This feels like this is one for the Dish Shows of the Year list. So.
Yeah, it is. I will say it is violent and grim in places. So, you know, just beware.
Is it grim?
I think it's like, well, in some of the violence.
Is it? I don't remember any grim violence. I mean, there's
there is. If you right early on, the thing that precipitates the whole story is violent scenes. Yeah, there is pretty violent, but not. I mean, I wouldn't say over the top or
it's not the what's that show when the person was forced to put their hand on the stove that James found acceptable.
The Lost of Us.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, it's not that gratuitous.
No, it's not horrific. Yeah,
there are a lot of corridors in this, though, to be fair.
There are. And beware of what's around the corner.
Indeed.
That's what I would say.
Task. Actually, I should have made a Task Rabbit joke. Didn't think to do that.
You've had a good enough...
I should have said something like, Boyd, why don't you rabbit on about Task?
I would say, I would argue that might be your best work.
I'll work on it. Anyway,
yeah.
Task is on a sky, specifically Atlantic, and now, when, Boydie?
The masterful Task is on Sky Atlantic now, as you say, from Monday today, the 8th of September, 2025 at 9 o'clock. I was going to say it's all going to be available. It's not. It's definitely week by week because it's an HBO show and I don't do them all available. It's a thing to watch over the next 5 or 6 weeks, however many episodes there are. 7 episodes, I believe, of Task. There you go. That's a really juicy amount.
Okay.
That's good.
Next up, we have The Girlfriend on Prime Video, which you've already heard about, to be fair, which means that by this point, you know roughly as much about it as I do, as I did not get screeners in time for this particular podcast. Now, I'm not saying there's irony here in that I failed to get The Girlfriend, but I do feel slightly attacked by this whole situation. And I was thinking about this, and I think I should have probably asked for The Girlfriend on this podcast, on air, because, you know, after all, that worked for Travis Kelce, so I don't see why it couldn't also work for me, so... I should have...
It would always be brought back to Taylor Swift with you on it.
I think I should have done that. I should have used this podcast to get myself The Girlfriend.
Okay, well...
But unfortunately, I didn't. I haven't seen it. So, Kay, you're in the pocket of Big Girlfriend.
Yes, I am.
So we can't really go to you.
You.
So, Boyd, we're going to have to listen to you rabbit on this
time
about The Girlfriend.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, listen.
Yes, oh, that's good, yes. To talk about The Girlfriend, let's refer to The Boyd Friend.
Oh, okay.
Ba-dum-bum.
What a shame that you haven't seen this, though.
I really wanted to watch it.
Do you know what? My RPR friend replied very late at night last because I'd been chasing it for him because I just really was desperate for
him. I'm not saying Prime Video have done this to me two years running, but...
Yeah. They hate you. Have you been flagging up all their shows?
Yeah, it might have been that. But they did actually provide the screen to me, but didn't arrive till after midnight last night and I'd already turned into a pumpkin. So I was unable to watch it in zone. Yeah, that's true.
Well, here we go. This is what happens in The Girlfriend. So... Remember last week I was talking about the genre of is she or isn't she a psychopath thrillers that have been, there's been loads of them. The Jetty, The Stolen Girl, The Au Pair, Little Disasters, Insomnia, Behind Her Eyes, etc., etc. This is adapted from the novel of the same name by Michelle Francis, and it's got a similar kind of thing to it, but this one-ups in two ways. This has got two characters who you're like not sure if they're a psychopath or not. So you've got the Robin Wright character, who is the very rich art gallery owning mother of a kind of handsome young guy called Daniel, played by Laurie Davidson. And Laurie Davidson has fallen in love with this kind of working class woman called Cherry, who works as a state agent. And she is played by the great Olivia Cooke from House of the Dragon and other stuff. And she's also borderline bonkers, or at least You know, so right from the beginning, there's enmity as soon as he introduces his new girlfriend to his mother. His dad is a lovely, well-adjusted guy in the middle of all this, by the way, who's the really rich one who's kind of financing Robin Wright's character's art gallery lifestyle and art gallery job. But she immediately takes against this young girlfriend, and you're not quite sure why. And she also seems very, very close, perhaps creepily so, to her son.
James, I'm desperate for you to have watched this.
It's one of those shows,
isn't it? It's one of those. Yeah.
You just, well, crucially...
Is it a show that you would expect Nicole Kidman to be in?
Yes. I mean, if this was American... Of course, Robin Wright now lives here, as Kate will know that story because she interviewed
Now they're besties.
And, yeah. But so, as far as I gather, she lives here now and she's, you know, and she was really keen on doing this show because they sent her the book and she's like, yeah, this is a really exciting thing. If this was an American Netflix show or something, Nicole Kidman would absolutely play her character, Robin Wright. But Robin Wright is fantastic in it.
Yes, and she directs. Yes. Can I just... One crucial thing is that, James, all of the action... Well, yeah, the majority of the action...
I was getting to it.
...is dual perspective. So you see it from Laura's point of view and then Cherry, so you never know which to believe.
The Rashomon
technique. Boy, you left it too long. Well, I think that's crucial, my angel.
No, but I said one thing. When you say the one thing that's different is the fact that there's both of them could be bonkers. The second thing that makes it different is that it's shown from both points of view. In the style, and by the way, in the style, if you're a critic of a show that has multiple perspectives, you have have to say it's in Rashomon style, the classic.
Or you could just say it's like Boomtown, but I'm not sure many people have watched.
Say it's like Boomtown. You could say it's like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Whatever way you look at it, yeah, the events play out, and you see the same events, crucially, from each of the possibly bonkers main characters' points of view. But they do it very cleverly in this case, because it's you see more information. If like you're given more information in terms of the storyline and the narratives, as you switch from the one person's perspective to the other, which is quite a clever way. So you see little moments that you didn't see the first time round, as you know, as the bonkers
so it's not repetitive.
Explain something. Yeah, so it doesn't feel you're going through the motions of the same storyline. So it's just intelligently and cleverly written, and particularly the multiple perspectives element of it. Bottom line is, this is an absolute joy of a juicy, ludicrous, fun,
sexy,
borderline preposterous. In fact, embrace the preposterousness. I think it's aware of its own kind of madness.
We're adding it to the master shows, aren't we? That are
absolutely in that world, and it's definitely up there. I mean, like, what's interesting is The Guest, which we reviewed last week, which is the Eve Myles one with the two women. Similarly, the two women in that are kind of a bit bonkers as well. There's a rash of bonkers women. I don't know how I'd feel about it if I was a woman. I might be slightly attacked, because you don't get as many "are there bonkers men" storylines. Nowhere near as many.
With this, though, it depends on whose perspective. Because from, like, for example, from Cherry's perspective, you'd think, oh my God, Laura, the mother, is wackadoodle-doo and she fancies her son, perhaps, or is too close. But from Laura's perspective, she's could just be an overprotective mother.
My point is, at least one of them is. At least one of them's like, they're both borderline wacko anyway. At least one of them is totally wacko. We just don't not quite sure which one it is to start with anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
But I loved it, and the extent to which I enjoyed it is that I absolutely devoured the whole fucking series in one go.
It's very binge.
It is such a binge.
Yeah, it's nice that you were able to do that.
It's very nice.
I think you should give it a go. I think
it's not like I wouldn't like to. You know.
Well, you've got it now.
I do.
It's
that is
basic.
True.
Bottom line is, it's a lot of fun. It is. It's a wild ride. It's entertaining, thrilling. You won't, there are moments in it where episode 2, for example, there's a balcony scene where you're like, oh my God, did that just happen?
Kay and I, off mic, had a discussion, didn't we, about this scene where we were comparing notes, and Kay, we were comparing shock levels of that scene, is all I'd say. And you were more shocked about it.
I was very shocked,
I took it in my stride.
Yeah, of course. Well, it makes me question things. But anyway, get in touch to the PilotTV@EmpireMagazine.com. Tell me if you were shocked.
You'll know the balcony scene when you see it.
You'll absolutely know it, and it will stay with you for the rest of your life.
We also mention supporting cast Tanya Moody from Motherland? You remember the big character in Motherland? She drank a lot. She was
a big character in Motherland? Surely not.
Yes. She's very funny in Motherland. She is fucking camp as Christmas in this show. Her character, her performance. Shalom Bryn Franklin from the very recently reviewed The Assassin. She has a great role in it as well, as her daughter. There's loads of fun things going on.
And it's so lavish as well, isn't it? It's just lovely to look
slick.
At.
Bold?
It is bold. Where do you get to that balcony?
The balcony.
Scene?
Bold balcony.
But it's very, there's a lot of property porn. They go to Spain. It's glossy. Yeah. It's fun.
It's a show about rich people being nuts.
Yeah.
That's
but interesting takes on class as well, because you said, Cherry is working class. And
you see a northern working class man, by the way.
A butcher.
Yeah. There you go.
Which comes into play, by the way.
Oh, my God,
In one crazy scene in episode 1.
Steady.
Yes, no spoilers.
No spoilers.
The Girlfriend, then, on Amazon Prime.
Apparently. Prime Video, Wednesday. Don't call it Amazon Prime. Can't call it Amazon.
I'm saying, if you're not going to send me screeners, I can call it
here we go.
Do you know what? He's added you to the list of streamers and platforms that he's taken against.
Yeah. Now that he's now deliberately deliberately ignoring the thing that's on every email from Prime Video saying, do not call it Amazon Prime.
I think other channels? UK TV got a kicking over it.
Channel 5 and ITV have long been in the crosshairs.
Anyway, The Girlfriend is on you and Prime Video. No, it's not. It's on Prime Video, Wednesday, the 10th of September, 2025. I think the whole thing drops in a joyous box set, and I would set aside 5 excellent hours.
That is your weekend sorted.
5 excellent hours, then. Finally, this week, we have Only Murders in the Building, season
5.
Which reunites us with Charles and Oliver and Mabel as yet another body drops, I always say, in an apartment, near, in the environ of an apartment building that frankly must have seen. It's environ that must have seen its property prices frankly tumble over the past few years. Which one of you would like to talk about this so that I don't have to?
I will talk about it.
It's going to be Kay.
My first question is,
yes,
James, did you deign to watch it? Because when we did this special, as you recall,
actually,
you
physically watched it.
Okay, well, that's good news.
Yeah.
As you say, it's our fifth visit to the Arconia, aka the deadliest address in New York City. I mean, anyone who's living there by now surely would just be like, fuck this, yeah, I'm out of here.
I'm moving.
The body in question, the death that the residents are mourning, is their doorman, Lester, played by Teddy Kaluuya. The death has been ruled an accident, but none of the gang, as you said, Mabel, Oliver and Charles, are buying it.
Yeah.
Not least because they need it to be a murder for their podcast.
Red Lester.
Oh, dear. Cheesiness levels high. Anyway, yeah, so they need it for their true crime pod. Although, as Martin Short's character, Oliver, points out, that actually if they were freed up of those commitments, then he'll be able to spend more time with his new wife, who's off filming. I don't know where she is. She's abroad, isn't she? She's filming. And Mabel would be gallivanting around the town.
Your new wife, played by Meryl Streep.
Of course, yeah. But Charles would just be left doing nothing. And I think that's going to be a theme throughout this series of just Charles being at a loose end. Luckily, he does not need to worry about that because all fingers point to it being a murder and possible connections to the mob. So it's going to be very interesting. I have to say, because I've been up and down with this show, I think it's a return to form. I'm excited by their antics. James, I imagine you'll say it's silly. It is silly.
It is.
It's fun. It's entertaining. I like the quippy back and forth with it, the sarky retorts. I enjoy spending time in their company largely. I sometimes have doubts about Mabel, if I'm not, like, that's the one character that I find a little bit hard to get on board with sometimes.
Misogyny.
Yeah.
Gomez hater.
Yeah. Hate the Gomes. Yes. It's just fun being with them and on this ride as they try and solve this murder.
I watched this a mere matter of hours after I had watched The Thursday Murder Club, which is the adaptation of Richard Osman's massive bestseller, which is on the Netflix. Number one on the Netflix film list. And I have to say that the contrast between the two was interesting because I think The Thursday Murder Club, sorry, I'm doing my mini film review, is massively slow and ponderous. Yes. And
you'd imagine... Imagine this scene. I went to watch it in the cinema.
Oh, my
friend.
God, yes.
I paid money.
Oh, you made it then?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
I mean,
it was local.
I literally looked at my watch after an hour of the Thursday Murder Club, and I couldn't believe it's still another hour to go.
Well, by that point, it was a Friday murder.
Well, exactly.
Good one.
It's so ponderous and just dull.
Yes.
And not funny.
Which is frustrating because of the cast.
Yeah.
They got such a great cast.
Brilliant cast. But my point is, you then watch the first episodes, and we have had our ups and downs with it. We famously did a spoiler special series, which, because James doesn't watch it, it basically became Kay and me.
Doesn't watch it.
Yeah.
And crucially, doesn't like it.
Yeah, and that season started brilliantly, if you remember, and then kind of did dip
sagged
in the middle.
Because they do you know what? It's because they all went off in their different directions, and the strength of this lies in the dynamic
all
three.
So my point is, this is an absolute delight in comparison. Mm-hmm. This is the tone that needs to have for me. I genuinely think that, you know, it was like, this has this a kind of a vibrancy to it.
Yes.
It's got a charm. The three leads have chemistry together.
Yeah.
It is silly, but Thursday Murder Club needs to be a bit sillier because it is.
I haven't seen Thursday Murder Club yet, but I suspect I will enjoy it more.
Maybe. You probably will, actually.
It just wasn't
funny. But it's just not funny.
No.
It's just, in comparison, an absolute delight. And I do think it's a return. I actually did like the previous series because particularly the Hollywood stuff. Remember, there was all stuff about actors playing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I loved all that element of that series. That I think what I particularly enjoy about from that series and particularly this series is that the threesome, if you like, the trio, is kind of joined by Howard, the camp neighbor played brilliantly by Michael Cyril Crichton, who's fantastic, a presence. He's, you know, the guy walking the dog and all of that. And he is really, really funny as well. And he's in it a lot more than he was back. He's been in every series. He's been, you know, the neighbor. Yeah, absolutely. He's been there kind of at the edge of it, but he's more central now to the whole thing because I think they know how funny and interesting that character is and how his interactions are. And I think the mafia stuff in this is really well done. Like what they've always been really good at in Only Murders is pulling the rug from under you in a kind of borderline stupid way, like if you're James, but in a quite satisfying, fun way if you're a normal person. So there are lots of surprises all the way through. And you think, you know, they're going to this mobster family and you think they're meeting mobsters, but then it turns out to be not quite what you expect.
I mean, I a little bit didn't enjoy that scene.
I really enjoyed that scene. Taya Leone she asked there for their help before the actual murder happens, and kind of she's a key element of it. And there's just, you know, you can just reel off the cast. Diane Wiest, Logan Lerman, Christoph Waltz, Renee Zellweger. It's just incredible. Beanie Feldstein. They give them juicy, fun parts to play. So I'm fully back on board with Only Murders.
You're back in the building.
Back in the building is great fun.
Do you know what? Whereas Thursday Murder Club takes itself way too seriously, this doesn't, and it's all the better for it.
I think that's my problem with it. Mm. It's so silly. I find it a little irritating. That mobster scene thought was dreadful. I really didn't get on with it.
The rare moment I do agree with James. It's just one scene. Other than that, I liked it.
I think also because I've never warmed to these characters.
Yeah, you've always been a hater.
Yeah, well, mainly Oliver and What's-His-Chops, the other one. I don't actually mind Mabel.
Steve.
But
Charles.
Charles, that's it. Charles and Oliver. I just don't enjoy this show. I know the failing is mine. It is a massive hit. Lots of people like it. I just can't get on with it. I think it's the silliness.
It's your misery guts, basically.
It's because I'm miserable. Yeah. You know.
That's such a great term.
That's it. Yeah.
It's true, yeah.
Anyway, if you do have a funny bone and indeed some sliver of a sense of humour, you may enjoy it. It's available on the Disney Plus.
I think it's available. Sorry, I'm just leafing through. Tuesday, the 9th of September, 2025.
Fabulous. What else is out this week, Bordy? What did we miss?
Well, coming up on the Sunday, which if you know, we could have reviewed if it hadn't been embargoed, but we'll do it in the next. Cold Water, the aforementioned Andrew Lincoln ITV1 thriller. Is arriving. The newsreel, as Kay mentioned, that's Thursday, 11th of September, just to underline on, I'm just saying it's on.
This week.
Yeah.
Oh.
This week. Let's not get carried away. Playing Gracie Darling is a Paramount Plus Aussie thriller about a girl who vanished during a seance, and 27 years on, local teens play a spooky game named after the missing teen. So, yeah, Kay's already shaking her head at that. But that's on Paramount Plus Thursday, the 11th of September. He says leafing through. Oh, there's a fans of Downton Abbey, of which
hello
we all are.
Everyone.
Grand finale.
We're definitely in cinema together. Well, no, that is in cinemas.
Boyd's already seen it.
I've seen it. I've done the interviews.
He was hanging out with Hugh Bonneville yesterday.
And Alan Leach, the great Alan Leach. But what I'm saying is, there's a celebration of Downton Abbey itself on ITVX on Friday. The fans of the show.
Oh, like a documentary.
Like a documentary and a celebration of everything, mm-hmm. of the three films and the six series that we've had to enjoy. I think that's about it. It's not a massive week for new peak television.
James is getting twitchy at the audio. Look,
if it is in any way possible to make more noise with the magazine, I don't know how you could do it.
You saw like the vein in his head.
I'm thinking of Darren.
Darren won't mind.
Stop rustling. Don't make me
Russell
beat you. In The Bourne Identity where he kills a man with a magazine?
Yeah.
It could literally happen. So.
Yeah.
Good God, what is our pick of the week?
Task.
It is Task. Yes. Fabulous. Okay, that is us done for this week. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, we want you to do two very important things. One, please leave us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you enjoy this show on. Two, we also want you to go to YouTube and watch it on YouTube because Kay loves being on video and she wants as many people as possible to watch this podcast on YouTube so they can see her in all her glory. And three, while you're at it, we'd like you to subscribe to Pilot Plus because we want your monies.
Yeah. Yeah, and also get in touch, please. Can you repeat the email address?
Who's email mad that noise? Come on.
Not me.
Fess up. It's Boydie. It's you, isn't it?
No,
of course it's Boydie.
I think it might be you.
It's not me. Honestly, I'm a professional.
You're a constant newsmaker.
Right. Yes. What was the other thing? Yes. PilotTV@empiremagazine.com. We want your
Please get
messages.
In touch.
Yeah, your missive.
I'd love to hear
Get in
me.
Touch. On next week's show, the aforementioned Andrew Lincoln will be on the show with David Ireland to talk about cold water, crucially. and what else is on next week? Gen V returns next week for its second season.
It's an ask and it's an answer.
Yeah.
The Morning Show is back for its fourth season. Obviously, some of us saw that many, many months ago. Tulsa King's actually back for its third season next week as well. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I believe it's on Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Yeah, okay.
And there'll probably be other things as well. So I don't know.
Juice. Black rabbit, juice yeah. mold.
See, all these things. Boy, it's not put in the calendar yet. but crucially, we will be reviewing Coldwater on this week's Pilot Plus, which you can listen to on Thursday if you subscribe. And if you don't, then you should.
Sounds very menacing when you say it like that.
Does it?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be threatening.
Don't threaten the listeners. Come on. Oh. If you have the option of opting in to subscribing, we'd love that. If not, we still love you.
Okay. Right, we're done. We're going to go off and review our pictures from the aforementioned photo shoot. Kay, unfortunately, does have model approval, so yes, this could come.
100%. And I'm very critical. So, yeah, we'll see what gets signed off.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Shall I tell the readers about what's going to happen next week when you want to swap sides to the other side of the studio because that is your better side?
Photographer Marco has been like trying to talk me off the ledge in terms of having my picture taken, i.e. telling me not to hold my hands like claws because I'm so nervous. And crucially, in between shots saying, and breathe. And we established that maybe there is one side of my face that is slightly better.
And so as of next week, you're going to be sitting on that side.
Or we're just getting ousted from the seats.
You have insisted. Diva K has insisted.
If we have to be on camera, if you're insisting that we want to cater the three people who are watching on YouTube, then yes, this will be happening.
Okay. Well, look forward to seeing Kay's good side next week. I've yet to encounter Kay's good side, but we'll see. Pilot out.